Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two, and we're about to bring a friend on the line. But I got to tell you, we just had breaking news like in the last few minutes that the attempt to unionize the plant at Mercedes by the UAW has failed. I am ecstatic. It has failed. So the plant will not be unionizing. Of course, they're turning their attention to Hyundai also here in Alabama. But I'm telling you right now, that is big doings right there. And I am glad of it. And I appreciate the workers voted 56 to 44, apparently. It was a pretty good sized jump. So I'm glad to hear it. Listen, we're going to bring on somebody right now who has been neck deep in what it takes to do conservative things for the state of Alabama, and that's our friend John Wall. John's been on the show many times. He's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, but he is also a member of the Alabama Public Library Service Board. And we talked earlier about the fact that they had a great meeting yesterday. So without further ado, John Wall, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Well, thank you. Did you hear, by the way, a moment ago when I said we just got word that the UAW's vote at Mercedes failed?
I did hear that, and I'm excited for those workers. Unions are an important part of a free market system, but what we've seen unions turn into in this country is organizations that do not stand up for the workers anymore. They stand up for the elite and the Democrat Party.
There you go. Absolutely. Well, it's also, I think, good for Alabama. I think that preserves our ability for economic development and other things. So that's, anyway, great stuff. All right, listen, that's not why you came on the show, but I just thought you'd probably appreciate knowing that happened. All right. So, hey, John, you're on the Alabama Public Library Service Board. I believe you were appointed by Governor Ivey. Am I right?
That is correct. So representing the 5th District up here in North Alabama.
Well, I'll ask you a question that I believe I've asked you before. Did you ever in all your born days imagine that a library board could become that controversial?
I didn't. You know, when I first got appointed, it was about the most boring board in the entire history of the universe. And then about 6 months after I was on that board, everything blew up, and it has been a wild ride ever since.
Well, you know, you and my friend Amy Minton and others have been literally holding the line against some pretty amazing pressures. I mean, you guys have been called everything under the sun, and you're extremists, and you're Nazis, and you're book burners, and you're book banners, and you're just some awful people, apparently. And lo and behold, you still prevailed. And I appreciate, first of all, I'll say it right now, I appreciate you hanging in there.
Well, you are more than welcome. And look, you know a lot about a person by who their enemies are. And I'm going to say this, the people who are throwing those insults are the people like the president of the American Library Association, who is an open Marxist.
Yeah.
So it's not even an insult to call her a Marxist. She's proud of it. And that would be one of the insults that would be most troubling if I was ever called a Marxist. So I believe at least we have the right enemies. That's the important thing when you're in a political struggle, and really more than a political struggle. This is not about politics. This is about, you know, not about Marxism or Republicanism or Democratism. This is about a fundamental battle between light and darkness, between just what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And sometimes, though, you have to force right. And you guys were in a position where you kind of had to force right. And I appreciate, by the way, in doing that, you guys were very methodical. I don't think anyone's going to be able to say later on they were denied due process or the ability to have their voices heard. I mean, you guys had public hearings. You took in over 6,400 public comments. But in the end, you still voted openly for change. And talk about the policies y'all put in place.
Well, and it was important change. You know, and this is what I think is so important about government in general. It's so important that government listen to their constituents and actually go past just what may be the easiest thing to do and actually get to what is good policy and what helps the people of our districts and our state.
Yeah.
And what this policy does is very simple. It says, if you're every library in the state of Alabama, in order to receive state funds, they have to remove sexually explicit material out of the children's sections, period. And that is long overdue.
Yeah.
And I am so proud and so excited that Alabama now has one of the strongest policies on protecting children in the entire country.
I said earlier that I really feel like y'all just became a nationally known entity. I mean, you set a tone here that I think others can find in terms of model, you know, not legislation, but in this case, model regulation. And that's huge. And I love the fact that you did. Now, is it going to be challenged?
Well, you know, one thing that you brought up that I think is very important is I did not take the wording of this policy for granted. This was something that I had done, put countless hours of work into, making sure every word was correct, making sure that everything, you know, had a legal foundation. And the bottom line is, we regulate across the entire country. This is a kind of a fundamental thing since the beginning of time. We protect children. We as a society, we as a people, we as parents, we as families, we as government, whether that's, you know, rating movies or rating video games or TV shows or not allowing them to drink or smoke. And I don't think there's a legal argument you can make of why you can do those other things, but all of a sudden you can't protect children in library sections? No. I think if we are sued, I think we prevail, and I think common sense wins the day. And yesterday was a good day for the people of Alabama, and making sure the parents know, are assured that the APLS board cares about them, and we're going to make sure their libraries are safe places for their kids.
Outstanding. Well, and well, they should. And let me ask you this: that regulation y'all put out, or that proposal to the bylaws change, or not proposal, but you voted on it. It's a bylaws change. That doesn't affect local funding, does it?
No, so that would only be, the APLS board only has authority over state funding. So that would be state aid, which is based, you know, which is given to every local library, but it would only be the state aid component.
Do you have any idea, like on the average, how many libraries live off of state funding as opposed to something local or otherwise?
Almost all libraries in the state engage in state funding.
Okay.
So it's split between state and local. Different libraries have different percentages. There are some cities that subsidize their libraries far more. But I'll give you an example. My home library up here in Athens Limestone, they get roughly, I believe it's 60% of their funding is state funding.
Okay. Wow. All right. So it's a significant carrot and stick then.
Correct. Which is important. Look, this is what the feds do all the time. And the liberals love to use this top-down approach of, you know, using funding and money to make sure that their agendas are done. And that's why they're screaming so loud when now it's being used against them. But this is not new. This is normal. And this is a role where government has not just the right, but the duty to make sure that our children are protected, they're safeguarded from inappropriate material, and that their constituents, the consumers of the libraries, can feel secure with the books that are involved.
Well, so I guess real quick to wrap it up, because I want to ask you something else on politics, but the practical application here, how does it come about? Does the library board go and do inspections? Do you have if somebody reports, then you investigate, and then when do you withhold the funds? And how do they have correction opportunities for that matter?
Yeah. So there is there's a pretty good mechanism here. One, that's the first section of the code. The second part says they also cannot purchase these books in the future, which is very important. Like you can't use taxpayer money to purchase consumer material with sex explicit material that's advertised for consumers under 18.
Okay.
The third component is there also any child who gets a library card has to get parental consent in some form or fashion before checking books out of the adult section.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's a full protection of our children, and it was voted on yesterday, passed. It is scheduled to go into effect July 17th.
Okay.
And then from there, local libraries will have it. There's also another component within the policy section that are required by the APLS. Local libraries already have a checklist of things they're required to give in order to receive state aid. This is going to be added to that list, and they'll have to present policy to the APLS board before they're put on the list that would receive state aid. And they have probably until the December timeframe to get that in order.
Okay. That's comprehensive and well thought out. And I'll be honest with you, I know too that the Governor Ivey sent some of this proposed language over, but y'all even amended it and made it more specific. Am I correct?
That is correct. So, and a lot of this, and I want to thank the governor for her for being involved in this and calling this issue out and kind of starting the ball rolling. And that was the policy requirements, the requiring libraries to have those policies in place. That then allowed the amendment, and I think they go very well together. My amendments yesterday work hand in hand with Governor Ivey's original policy changes, and I think they complement each other, make each other stronger, and really make sure that the children of Alabama are protected.
Well, that's great stuff. And listen, I can't tell you again how much I appreciate you and the other members of the board hanging in there, putting up with a lot of stuff that you would never would have imagined to put up with to be on a library board. But you stood in the gap for kids, and that's exactly what we have to do. We have to be willing. Our kids are our greatest resource. They are a gift to us. And if our society just sits back and lets things happen, then we'll be held to account for that later. I really believe it.
Oh, amen. Amen. And there is a battle being waged against them right now. The attempts to indoctrinate and destroy the morality of our children is very much in full force right now.
Yeah, it's an agenda item, really. It really is. Hey, listen, I tell you what, John, we didn't even get to talk politics. Do you have the ability to hang on through a break and to spend a couple more minutes with us? Would you be able to do that?
Yeah, let's go for it.
All right, well, tell you what, we'll do that. We'll take a break right now, and then I'm going to ask him to switch hats altogether and be the chairman of the Republican Party. So, we're with John Wall, Alabama Republican Party, but also a member of the Alabama Public Library Service Board. We'll switch gears, come back and talk about, presidential debates, maybe. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making it cool to be a conservative. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Going right back to the phones right now with John Wall. And hey, John, I'm going to ask you to switch hats. Go ahead and put on your chairman of the Alabama Republican Party hat for a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we have now debates lining up.
Mm-hmm. It appears at least two.
Hopefully
more.
That's my question. So right now, Biden has set the standard for what he wants and what he will do, and we're getting CNN's Jake Tapper, and then we're going to have ABC later in the year. Are we going to have any opportunity here for a debate that's going to be with what I would call a more conservative moderator?
The Biden administration is playing hardball on this. I don't even like some of the concessions that were made on these first two debates. The number one being that there are no guests allowed, no audience. And I think that's just so disappointing. What audience helps the candidates feel their support. It helps the candidates feel when they maybe say something wrong. It's part of the debate experience to have an audience. And I just think that's a very disappointing decision, and it really highlights, I think, the Biden administration and the fact that they're afraid of the public. There's no other way to look at this. They are afraid to have average, everyday Americans in a room with them who will react to their policies.
Well, and I look at it, too, and I can't help, and I don't want to pretend like I really do know Joe Biden's diagnoses or whether he has a true dementia issue, but I can tell you that external stimuli can often be unsettling for someone who is struggling with those issues. And you know what? They've just made this almost like he's doing a debate in a bubble.
Absolutely. And it's much easier to have a more – look, Joe Biden is strongest in a teleprompter environment. In fact, usually he reads things like applause when he's not supposed to, or the end. So, the closer you can get to that environment, the more comfortable he will be. And I know there's been multiple Biden aides who have commented on this, and one who said outright that the president has trouble hearing, and they're worried that crowd noises would make it where he could not hear. I wonder about a crowded military room in the case of a military emergency. How would our president hear in that situation? Yeah. These are troubling questions. If you can't handle a live audience in a debate, how are you going to handle our country?
Well, you could almost say that about a lot of things. If you can't handle, not just debate, but if you can't handle just making decisions, if you can't handle a teleprompter, if you can't, handle getting your conference lined up to get certified for the vote before we have to, actually have the ballots created in Alabama, then you want to run the country.
If you can't run your campaign, how are you going to run the country?
That's exactly
right. Perhaps that is why the country is not being ran. It is being run into the ground.
Well, so these debates that are coming up, there's a lot of speculation, and I don't know that there's anything that we can say except speculation on it. But you look at it and go, okay, we're going to have the first debate. I think we're going to have the first debate. I question whether we'll get to the second debate. And I say that because I think they're going to find a way for him to say, well, we just can't get on the stage with that man because he's not, you know, he's not beneath the office, and they'll find a reason not to do it twice. I think it's going to be imperative upon President Trump to come in and be what I would call the more calm, cool, and collected version of Trump than the time we saw him debate in the last election where he got really, you know, just reckless with him. And I think it hurt his campaign that time.
I would agree. And I think we are seeing a little bit of a new Trump in a lot of ways. Still bold, still brash, but maybe not going that over that line. And I hope we continue to see that. And I think it's very important to debate that he does that. He needs to talk to the American people, not to his opponent. That is so key in a debate. Remember, you're not actually talking to the person across from you.
Yeah.
You're talking to the millions of people who are watching.
Well, I think it's huge. I think the very fact, though, that the Biden administration called for it may indicate, too, they also recognize the polling is not where they want it to be, and they realize they're going to have to do something. Otherwise, it's going to run away from them.
Well, they have to take this gamble, and I think you're right. I think we will see both debates. I think Biden gets in a very trapped position if he doesn't, because he's already agreed to them. I know the Trump team are very, you know, already saying they want to do more. They believe the American people should have that opportunity. It's an American tradition to have that open dialogue and open debate before a presidential election. And I hope we see more. I think these are incredibly important for the public. And I think as time continues, it becomes even more important.
Well, I agree. And so now you've laid it out that you think we're going to have both of these that we're talking about now, scheduled debates. I think we're going to have the first one only. So if I'm right, you owe me dinner. And if you're right, I guess we'll figure it out. I'll owe you dinner.
All right. Well, if I'm wrong, I will owe you dinner and I will come on the show and publicly apologize. We'll figure something for you to do for me. I don't know. I don't know what it'll be, but I'll have something by the time we get there.
I like my steaks medium, just so you know.
Okay. Confidence. I like it.
All right. Well, John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and also, by the way, a member of the Alabama Public Library Service Board. We appreciate you as always. We'll have you on again soon. All right. He's gone. All right. Thank you much. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.